Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
And we would like to welcome you to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. As we prepare to go forward, we just want you to know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before I go any further, I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to give us our announcement and lead us in our prayer, Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody, and God bless you. Once again, welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are most ecstatic that you are here with us this morning. Just wanted to let you know, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. You can also join us for Prophetic Atmosphere with yours truly, Prophetess Crystal, at 7 p.m. every Thursday night. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website, people of God. Please take a moment of your time. Go to our website, take a look, get to know more about myself, about Apostle McQueen. Also get to know about our ministry in general, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as the churches that we cover overseas that God has graced us and given us the ability and the charge. And speaking of those churches, we are asking for your prayers as well as your financial support in this season. People of God, they need your monies, they need your prayers, they need your support any way that they can, amen, so that they too can complete the work that God has for them. Also, each and every one of those men and women also have Facebook pages as well. Don't take my word for it. Go to their Facebook page and check them out. Look them up. They have pictures. They can tell you about their ministry in general to let you know that these are live, active, amen, well-informed, powerful ministries that God is using powerfully in this time and in this season. You can find them also on the Facebook page. You can find them on our website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. We also have, amen, a contact page there for any of you that are out there that wish for us to come, myself or Apostle McQueen, to come and speak at any one of your programs. We have a contact page, as I stated before. Please leave us your information as well as a contact number that we can call, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. That's www.ctkr.org. We also have a Facebook page. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or you can find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny or WOPD. Like us on our Facebook page. Also leave us your prayers, your prayer requests, your praise reports even. Let us know that you are out there. Let us know that this ministry that God has given us is making an impact in your life. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements. Come on and let us look to the Lord, and then let's go towards God for the word of God. I'm excited to hear what the Master has to say to us this morning. Come on, as we pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you. We thank you for another day that you have made. We are grateful. We rejoice in it. Father, we thank you right now that you kept us protected all through the night. When we awoke, Father, everything was in order. Amen. We had the activity of our limbs and our minds were stayed upon you. Father, we bless your name. We glorify your name. We worship you because you are a holy God. Besides you, there is no other. We thank you that our times and our seasons, amen, are in your hands. God, we thank you for the word. Amen. The life-changing word, the messages that you have been bringing forth these last several weeks, Father, that to let us know that this is our time to move forward, to think big, to spread out in the name of Jesus, that this is the acceptable time and the season that you have ordained and called your people into to produce kingdom in the atmosphere, kingdom around us, produce kingdom assignments, fulfill kingdom assignments, fulfill kingdom agendas. Lord, we thank you right now for that. Even now, Father, as we begin to minister, as the man of God comes, we ask for your presence. We ask for your anointing, God. We can't minister or do anything without you. We need you. Speak through the man of God, the oracles of God. Let us not hear him, but let us hear the Christ in him, in the name of Jesus. Even now, Father, we ask that you would begin to stretch out over your prophets, stretch out over your leaders, God, stretch out over your prayer warriors and your intercessors. Father, begin to stir us up right now, that we will begin to press even more this moment, this time, this season, into your presence, into your glory, so that we can see the manifestation of your power, the manifestation of your strength in the lives of your people, your manifestation in the earth, wanting to see the kingdom of God to be glorified in this moment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, we bless your holy name. We worship your holy name. We give your name all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. We thank you now for what you're doing. We thank you for where you're taking us to and where we're going. We thank you for our already arrival, where you have already predestined us to be. We give your name praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're so grateful for that prayer. I'm telling you, I'm just excited. I know that God has some things that are in store for us and for his people. And our job is not to force you into compliance, but to minister a gospel in such a way that you see, you feel, and you agree with God's plan and will for your life. In doing so, then you will you'll be able to accept and have the benefits of prosperity that come with obedience to God's will, his word, his plan and design for your life. So we are excited about this, and I know that God has a word for us today. We started talking a little bit ago about who we are in Christ, our identity. Knowing who you are is key to you being able to go forward and do the things that God has called you to do. Because when you know who you are, then you're not distracted by any trick of the enemy. One of the main things that I've said before is when Eve and the serpent in the garden was speaking, he actually spoke to her concerning something that was her desire. Mm-hmm. But more so than that, he spoke to her concerning something that was her desire that was already fulfilled. Mm-hmm. She already had that relationship with the Father. She already knew her place in God. And it is through his interpretation of all of that that she ended up having the questions that she had. Those questions, amen, led her down a pathway to do something that God had already ordained she did, that she wouldn't do. And we are in the simple state of nature that we're in because of that. When Eve fell, then all creation fell. Amen. And we have to get back and deal with what God has said for us, and that is we are to redeem and go back and do what God has given us charge to do at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That right there, in and of itself, is key, because when we go in and look at where the first Adam fell, we see that we were given dominion. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We were told to go forward, have dominion, you know, and subdue, and we have taken that and gone in the wrong direction, even though we're trying to have dominion over the wrong things, and we're trying to subdue the wrong things. Amen. But we were given charge over Eden and over the earth. Amen. Now, when the second Adam came, Jesus Christ, he came and he redeemed us back to our former state. Amen.
Amen.
That means that we have to go back and do the assignment that was given to us at the very beginning. Amen. But we also have to do the second thing, which is deal with the assignment that was given to us by Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that is to go out, preach the gospel, demonstrate the power of the kingdom using the name of Jesus and the power that is there. It's delegated authority, but delegated authority that is not used is misappropriated. Amen.
Amen.
And we have to get back to doing what God has told us to do. Amen.
Amen.
We can't do that unless we really know who we are. Because the biggest battle that you will ever fight is the battle of your identity in Christ.
All right.
There's so many people trying to tell you who you are and who you aren't, and qualify how you are and how you aren't who God called you to be. And I want you to know God didn't make a mistake calling you. He knew exactly who you were. He knew exactly where you grew up. He knew who your parents was. Yes, he knew about that situation. He knew that you had proclivities and propensities towards different things that were not quite godly. Amen. But yet and still, he called you. I shared with somebody yesterday that I'm grateful that God uses imperfect people to do his perfect will. Amen. And when you get that in your mind, then you'll stop trying to walk and be perfect. You just walk and be obedient. Amen. In obedience comes your the process of your making. Amen. Because he'll lead you into all righteousness. He'll lead you into holiness. He'll lead you into the proper standing and the right way of living. Amen. So you don't have to try to figure it out. You just have to be sensitive to the Spirit. The other thing is know the Word of God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know the Word of God, then just like Eve, when she was spoken to by the serpent, she'll miss, take that word and misappropriate the meaning. Amen. Now, that means that there's a meaning there that works, but allowing him to say, hath not God said, and then clarify it for her, well, God surely didn't mean that. Well, listen, we have too many people in our ears right now trying to tell us that God understands that you are human, you're going to make mistakes. Right. He is a God that understands that you're human and you're going to make mistakes. That's why he sent his son, amen, with the blood, amen. The blood and its properties, amen, will take care of any and every sin problem, amen. Because all you have to say is, Lord, forgive me, and the blood still works, amen. Now, with that, we have to get people out of our ear who try to keep us at the foot of the cross and not out in the highways and byways doing what needs to be done. Amen. How many people know somebody that's gotten saved years ago and still have bad behavior, and they say, well, you know, the Lord is still working on me, but they still at the point of the conversion. Amen. At some point, you have to mature up, develop up, and leave out and go do what God called you to do. Isn't it interesting that Jesus would train the disciples and then send them out without him to prove that it works? Amen? They've
set with Jesus, but then there was times when Jesus would send them on into a test, send them on into assignments, amen? And then he would check and see what happened. Or he would come walking on the water after he sent them along. Or they would come back with the testimony that we went and did as you said, and this and that happened. Amen? Too many people are trying to get converted and stay at the point of conversion. I just made it in, and that's all I need to do. As long as I'm safe, I'm good. You know, everybody else got to get theirs too. I'm praying for you. But, you know, you're not trying to go and help nobody to make it. Amen? And that's what the assignment is. Amen? To go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Yeah. Uh-huh. And as we're preaching the gospel, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yeah.
I love that scripture because it says that you can't just go talk about it. You got to go do something with it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So now, our identity is important. Amen? Let's look at our identity. And I want to see this a couple of different places. And I want to look at it. Look at your neighbor and just say, I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Come on, go on, say it again. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Amen. Because when you understand that you are a child of God, then you stop running after things that are worldly, because you understand that as a child of God, you have rights. But your taste, amen, your taste should change, amen? Mm-hmm. And if you're still running after your worldly appetite things, then you need to go for another dip. Come back to the altar. Get it right. Ask the Lord to help you, amen? And then mature up, amen? That's one of the main things that we have to understand. The baby that is born stays that size for a certain amount of time, then he starts going through growth spurts, amen? And in the body of Christ, we're looking for those saints that are going through growth spurts. First, amen. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying we're looking for you to grow. Amen. We want to see you grow. And when you don't grow, then there's problems. Amen. Let's go here to Hebrews 6, amen, and 1. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Amen. Now, when I used to read that, I used to say, Lord, help me, because if I ever get to a point where I fall or I fail, amen, is there any redemption for me? Because if I have truly tasted, you know, and I fall back, is there any way for me to come back? And while I was sitting there contemplating that, I remember getting into a situation where my flesh wasn't governed. And I ended up doing some stuff, amen, that I really didn't believe that God would forgive me for. Huh? But he did. And the thing is that he knows that we're not perfect and that there's going to be moments, times, seasons that we may fall. You may fall, amen, but you can get up, amen. That's why Jesus Christ is your advocate. He is the priest, your high priest, who stands at the right hand of God, and he is the mediator between you and God. Amen. So when you mess up, he stands up and he shows his hands. The blood, the efficacious properties of the blood is applied to your, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. And that sin is brought up under the blood. Now, after that happens, then we need to mature up. Develop up. Stop making the same mistake over and over again, knowing that every time you say, Lord, forgive me, that the blood will be applied. Amen. At some point, and I always say this, God has, he's a long-suffering God, but long-suffering has to end. Amen. Huh? There's a time when he will leave you to yourself, and we don't want to get to that. Amen. Now, in your development, you're not going to walk perfect every day. Amen. But we're moving on to perfection. Amen. That's why I say we got to leave from just being at the foot of the cross and get to the assignment that God has given us so that we can do what God called us to do. Here is Hebrews 6 in one where it says, therefore, laying aside the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Amen. Because when you move in the way that God has called you and the assignment that God has called you to, then you begin to go through processes of perfection. What do I mean by that? He'll take you into something that will work out of you something that is not like him so that you can be more like him. When the world sees you, they don't see you as you used to be seen. Amen. You used to tell people off and cuss them out and jump on people and have a attitude about this, that, and the other. But when you get it right, amen, when you begin to walk according to the assignment that God has called you, then he begins to work you out. Or work out of you your behavior pattern, the bad behavior, your loose tongue where you telling everybody off, the attitude you have, amen? As we mature up, there are things that you shouldn't get upset at anymore because you're not walking after your strength. You're walking after his strength, amen? And when you get to the place where you would have turned around and said something, the Bible comes back and reminds you that Jesus said, if they smote you on the right cheek, turn around or offer them your left cheek. Whatever it is, you learn not to respond as your flesh would respond, but you begin to respond as he would respond. Because we are the children of God. And if Jesus could allow them to do what they did to him during his passion, how come we can't go through one person with my name in their mouth? Amen? We got to get past our flesh so that we can demonstrate Christ. Amen? So we have to go on to perfection. Notice he didn't say that we are perfected. He said that we are going on. Going on shows me that it is a process that comes during a length of time. Amen? Wouldn't it be sad for me to go into kindergarten and learn kindergarten things and stay at a kindergarten mentality because I refuse to go into first grade things? Wouldn't it be a shame for me when I'm a teenager to just now be getting to second grade because all that time I fought going through first grade to get to second grade? But we see this all the time when we start dealing with those who are Christians. They come in. They get saved, and then they do just enough to qualify the name Christian, but never enough to qualify the name son or daughter. What do you mean by that? If you're obedient to him, amen, then you are the sons of God, amen? But when you're not obedient, then you fall under the other category, amen? Mm-hmm. We have to understand that God is not mocked. Amen. You're sowing things, and God knows that if you sow them, that there's going to be a harvest that comes from them. Amen. So he works on you to get you together so that you don't reap the benefits of your sinful nature. Amen. That's why it's so important for you to understand your identity. Amen. Amen. These matters here, you know, let us go on for to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance. As I said, we need to move from just the foot of the cross. Lord, forgive me, go back and do something again like you was doing before, and then come back and say, Lord, forgive me, and then run back and do the same thing and then come back again. Lord, forgive me. Amen. You should go on to perfection and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Amen. What are dead works? Dead works are works that we do that that benefit us, but they do not benefit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. How do you mean that? Let me take you to some place right now, real quick. I want you to see this in Prophetess, and I, as I was preaching it the first time, the Lord showed it to me, and we began to look at it, and it was very, it was very convicting, amen, if you will. Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So now, notice that, you who practice lawlessness. We have many who say, "I'm Christian," but they practice anything but Christianity. Amen? So that's why it's important for us to see it. Amen? We can't say that we're Christian and not live a Christian lifestyle. Amen? The world right now is confused about what a real Christian is because we're sending mixed messages. And the other thing is, we will not challenge those who say that they are that aren't. Amen? So in fear of not being judged, judgmental or called judgmental, we remain silent, which means a definition of who we are that is false and erroneous goes out amongst the community, amongst those in the world. And when they need the answer, they're afraid to come into the answer because there's nothing that looks any different than what they're doing. Amen. We got to get down to being who we are. And if I am a child of God, if I have the identity of being a child of God, then I have to live the lifestyle that makes me look like a child of God. Amen.
Yes.
Look what it says in the Message Bible. I just want to read this because I think it's important here. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7:21 through 23 says, "Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, I'm going to get you anywhere with me." The people now who know the correct lingo and jargon when they're speaking, trying to sound kingdom, amen, trying to sound saved, so they know how to throw in an amen, a hallelujah every once in a while, and ain't that right? You know what I'm trying to say, help me, Jesus. But guess what? There's nothing in them that really needs any of that because they're really talking something other than the gospel, amen? So they use a password that they found, but they really don't know the power of the password. Amen? For instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required, and here we are, what is required is serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. Amen? Now, the problem here is that we have too many people who have their own agenda, and they try to push off their agenda as the will of God. But only the will of God is the will of God. Amen? And you have to understand that when God's will is involved, you may not get any glory out of it. But then again, that's the design of his will, his way, amen? It's not designed so that you look good. It's designed so that he looks good, amen? Huh? Let's keep reading here. What does it say? "I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me saying, Master, we have preached to God the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking." Okay. And do you know what I'm going to say? This is Jesus here. "You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here." So the problem then comes when we begin to use the gospel and all of this in order to make ourselves look good without attaching it to the assignment that God has given us. We will miss the boat, amen? And God isn't here to make you look good. Everything that is done makes him look good, amen? Jesus said it like this. He said, when you pray, pray in my name, asking the Father, and anything that you ask, I will do it because it brings glory to the Father, not because it brings glory to you so you look good as you walk forward. Get out of this personalized gospel that makes me look good and get back to making him look good. That's the reason why you're saved. Amen? Your salvation is not so that you can go off la-di-dying down the road. It's so that you can go off and demonstrate to a dying world that there is a living Savior who still has the ability and the capacity to save. Yeah. Amen? So we got to get back to that. So not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works, my God-sponsored projects, had everybody talking. This isn't about your marketing and your advertising. This is about what God wants and how he wants it done. Dead works, my works, I'm trying to do in his name. No, let me drop my works. Lord, what is your assignment? What is your will? What is your way? What do you want me to do here? How do I go forward and get the glory out of this situation for you? How are you going to get the glory out of this situation? Lord, I am a sacrifice, and if you need me upon a cross as you sent Jesus, then I'm on a cross. If you get the glory out of it, I'm willing to go all the way. Amen. And some of you are afraid to say it because you know your flesh is too alive for you to make that commitment. Amen. But God is calling us in right now and telling us that it takes all of that and more. Amen. Jesus didn't hold back, and we need to take the brakes off, amen, and ride it till the wheels come off, amen. We need to go all the way with it, amen. Not laying again the foundations of repentance, Hebrews 6 and 1, from dead works and of faith towards God, amen. So your faith in God should already be secure, amen. When you got saved, you had to have faith to believe that the sins in your life were covered by the blood and that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. That is what is your faith is tied to. Amen. And if your faith isn't tied to that, then you need to go back and reaffirm your commitment and your connection. Amen. Huh? And of doctrines of baptism. And let me say something here, because this really gets into something that gets under my skin. Amen. And I'll say it like this. When I grew up Pentecostal holiness and then became minister of music and at one church, and they were apostolic and music director at another church, and they were Church of God in Christ, and went over and helped out some other. And everybody deals with their baptism in a different way. And when you deal with apostolic, you deal with going down in the name of Jesus. And Jesus talks about baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which way is right? Which way is wrong? Listen, can I just say that it is in your commitment to baptism that the power lies? Amen. Whether you go down in the name of Jesus or in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it does not matter. We need to know, did you commit to baptism? And when we say commit to baptism, we mean going on from doctrines of baptism where we have infighting in such a way that the world coming in confused and not knowing what you may know at the level you know, they get disgruntled, they get disenfranchised, they walk away from God because they say, I love Jesus, but I can't take all that infighting and craziness. Amen. How many people have ran away from the church because of all of this craziness that had nothing to do with salvation to begin with? Amen. See, we got to get past ourselves, these little endless quarrels and fightings, amen, and we're just trying to make people think and see us in such a wonderful light, and all we need to be doing the light of Jesus. Amen. And when we do, he'll make the darkness light. He'll make the crooked straight. He'll bring enlightenment. Amen. So people who are coming in to be developed and mature will learn what they need to learn in the time that they need to learn it, and they'll move on in maturity towards the path that God called them to. Amen. It would be foolish for me to teach a toe how to do what an elbow does, because a toe can't do the elbow's job. Amen. You understand it? So when we are dealing with the body of Christ, understand that there's one body, but there's different functions in the body, and each function has to be developed from its foundation towards its assignment. Amen. My heart can't do the job of my lungs. Amen. So my lungs have to develop from being infant lungs into the adult lungs so they can keep the capacity of what I need to keep this body running properly. Amen. And see, what happens is we look in the body and we try to make everybody a heart, everybody a hand, everybody a toe, everybody an ankle or a knee. Well, guess what? In the body of Christ, God knows what you are in the body, and you need to go forward and be developed what he called you to be. Amen. So we have to understand that this is important. Amen. Amen. When we say going on from doctrines and of laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal life, understand that the first thing that he talks about here is leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. And let me clarify this. Thank you, Kingdom Way. Let me give clarification here, because the word perfect doesn't mean without flaw. It means mature. Amen. It is maturity. Amen. And these are the things that we have to make sure that people know, people understand, people see. Amen. And see, because when I came up and they said, be perfect, I used to think that I couldn't mess up. Don't have no wayward thoughts. Don't do anything that. No. It means you need to mature. And if you hear the words in what we're saying, develop and mature. Go through your process, go through your development, go through your maturity. Maturation is important. Even at our level where we have come to, I have not arrived at the level I'm going to be at. Amen. I need to continue to learn. I need to continue to learn more of God. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. That's why we lay on our face. We cry out to God. When we go out, we're in the Word. We're in the Bible. We're seeking the fullness of God. Amen. And not just so we have a knowledge of Him, so that when I stretch forth my hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I understand how to properly apply the authority that was delegated to me by him. Amen. That is important for us. Amen. Not that you're going to do it perfectly at the very beginning, because you're still immature when you first come in. Amen. But as you move on learning him, then you begin to mature. And as I said, things that bothered you when you first got saved, when you start going through your maturation process, you learn that you're not going to be upset at the same thing. Amen. One of the most precious things that I've learned is that when I look at young saints and they're doing things that I wouldn't do myself, is that I understand that they're young. Now, I have two ways that I can deal with this. I can go over and condemn them in their action, or I can help them to mature past those actions. Amen. It's like a parent seeing a child do something and they call them over and say, don't do that. And the child says, why? And they said, because if you do that, and they give them a reason, and the child says, well, how come? And they answer that. Now the child is learning why not to do that. Huh? You see that? Now, if you say don't do that, and they say, why? Because I said so. When the child gets out of your sight and they get down the road, they're going to try it. And whatever it was that they shouldn't do that got them into the trouble, you could have explained it away when you told them not to. Amen? The same thing when we have saints who are coming in and they're young, we have to instruct them. Amen? Mm-hmm. Show them how to grow. Show them how to mature. Amen? Don't walk over them, child, we don't do it like that. Okay, well, why don't we do it like that? We just don't. You know what? Listen. The traditions of your forefather have made the gospel of no effect. If the gospel is to every creature, then you need to learn how to speak the word. Amen. Mm-hmm. And articulate the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God. Amen. And as the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches and enlightens them, they are able to receive it. Amen. Stop trying to give them steaks and they can't swallow and process the milk yet. Amen. See, I don't understand in the kingdom of God how people get saved one day and we expect them to carry a full load tomorrow. Battle packs and everything. Amen. A natural baby is born. It has to be carried. It has to be fed. It'll spit up on itself. It can't wipe itself. Somebody has to clean up the spit up off of it. And we have to do it so the baby don't stink. Amen. Huh? The baby's going to wet themselves or make a mess in their diaper. And we have to look at it without exposing them. Clean off the poop. amen, wipe down the mess, amen, and then powder them, give them ointment, cover it back up, and let them keep going, amen. Let me show you something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just saw that. The thing that lets me know that you can properly digest what I'm giving you is when sometimes you make a mess. If what goes in your mouth don't come out through your digestive system, we know that there's a stoppage somewhere. Amen? And we have too many people trying to act like they got it, but they can't get rid of it. Amen? If it doesn't go through you and cleanse you, if the fiber of the word can go in and take care of what's inside of you, making you sick, if it can't get through you, then we have to go in with something tougher and work it out. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So when you make a mistake and you are growing, I know that it's getting through you. And we just clean you up, love on you, and send you on so that you can continue to grow. The way that a baby digestive system is when they're born is different when they're a child. It's different when they get to be a teen, different when they get to be an adult. And when they go into their geriatric years, then we find out that their digestive system is different then. Amen? In other words, you are always learning how to digest at a different level what you're taking in. And so it is as a child of God that you should not always be on milk. And if you're still trying to get your strength and everything from milk and you have been saved for 10, 15 years, then we have something the matter with your digestive system. Surely by now you should be able to have some bread or some meat. Amen? We need to do something here to help you. Help you to mature. Now, this is talking about today. We're talking about identity. And I think that one of the main things that we get to is that we forget that we are the children of God. We've heard the term, but we've never had it explained to us properly. So then people have been walking around saying that I'm a child of God, but they don't know what that really means. Amen, somebody. When we talk about being a child of God, then we have to understand that we are justified by faith. We're justified by faith in God. Amen? Huh? So when we begin to walk forward in this, we understand that we are not under the curse of the law, but we are under grace. And our faith is what qualifies us to this. Amen? Huh? So when we walk forward, we know that we have everything that we need when we ask God, because he conditions us as his children, amen, to walk according to his law and his will for our lives. Amen? So let's see this here. Let's go to Galatians, the chapter. Yeah, I like this. Let's start about the 21st verse, amen. Galatians 3:21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? Remember, we're talking about identity here, amen. Certainly not, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly, righteousness would have been by the law. Amen. And we understand that it's not. Amen. But the scripture has confined all under sin. Amen. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Amen. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Kept for the faith. Amen. Which will afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, listen to this now, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, does that mean that we don't need to be taught anymore? No, it doesn't mean that. Mm-hmm. It means that the constraints of the law, after you have become saved, which would bring you to Christ, once you get to Christ, it has done its purpose. Now you have to learn how to live in Christ. Amen. Look at what it says here, Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that if you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we say the Son, we're still dealing with Christ. Amen? So it qualifies. And if you were just baptized in the name of Jesus, it's still Christ. You qualify. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, amen, have put on Christ. That means when you went down with the understanding that I'm getting baptized into this kingdom lifestyle. You understand? I'm getting baptized into kingdom citizenship. I'm getting baptized into the family of God. Amen? So you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, according to heirs, and heirs according to the promise. Amen? And then we go on into the fourth chapter. Amen? Because I want you to see this, amen? And this is important for us because our identity gets lost up in here, amen? And this is how we stay in bondage at the foot of the cross and never mature and go on to our kingdom assignment that God called us to do. We miss it there because we come back and we say, well, I'm saved. I made it. I'm saved. But you haven't matured. So everything that's coming to you, understand this, doesn't come because you are doing things that men who have come cunningly, deceptively to deceive you, you're not doing it because you're following their way. The word is right. This Bible is right. Amen. I love our mother, Dr. Iona Locke would say it like that. She said, the Bible is right. Amen. And I can see her while she say it right now. This Bible is right. And if you get in this word, then you'll understand how you need to walk. Amen. Our job in spiritual leadership is to show you how to walk perfectly and effectively concerning the word. Amen. Now, what does it say here? It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, that's not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. That means when you first get saved, I need to understand that you're not going to look, amen, like a mature saint because you are a child. Even though you are master of all, you don't differ from those and look from those who are still in sin because you just came over. You understand? That means that you just got saved today. I need to see you looking different tomorrow. Amen? But today, I shouldn't be trying to make you look like you're going to look 5 years down the road. You understand? I need to let you mature and grow. Huh? But it's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Now, let me just give you this here because you need to hear this. If you think that the purpose of you being saved is so that you can sit in a church pew the rest of your life, you got this sadly mistaken. Hello? You see this? But it's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. In other words, there is an assignment that God has for you. Look at your neighbor and just testify to him and tell him that God has an assignment and plan for you.
God has an assignment and plan for
you. Oh, yes, he does. He does. Say it again. God has an assignment and a plan for you. Point
God
to him.
Has
point
an
to him.
Assignment and a plan for you.
Because some people think, I got saved. I could sit back here and just be on the usher board and don't do anything. So I come in here with my black and white and my name tag with the ribbon on it with my name and greet everybody with my white gloves. I'm doing okay. Have you told anybody about Jesus? When you left here, does your life mirror a child of God? Amen? Are you one of those people who people never knew was saved? See, we have people who are at your job who never knew that you were saved because when you come to church and when you go to work, you're two different people. Amen. And when you mature, you're a saved person every place you go. I shared this with my wife and with our congregation and with those. I said, listen, I'm Apostle McQueen wherever I go. So when I'm at school, I'm Apostle McQueen, and I carry myself that way. When I go to the store, I'm Apostle McQueen. I carry myself that way. Amen. Now, when I say Apostle McQueen, you don't see me walking in with gator shoes and everything else and chains and big giant ring on trying to show everybody that I'm married to the church and that I'm an apostle. And no, I might have on tennis shoes, jeans, and a pullover shirt. But when I walk in, you won't see me over at the wrong counter ordering the wrong thing. You understand? Everything that I do is so that at any moment in time, I can be able to minister at my capacity at my level. Hello, somebody. You need to understand that as a child of God, they should never see you at the water cooler in the middle of mess. You shouldn't be the one starting it. You shouldn't be the one who's in the middle of it. And if they start it for you and try to throw you in the middle of it, your character should already have spoken that that's not you. Amen. When we walk as those who are children of God, then we carry with us the ability to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Amen. We bring peace with us. We bring miracle signs and wonders with us. We should always have the gospel of peace with us. Amen. If you creating the problem, then you need to check your citizenship. Amen. Huh? You see that? So there's a time that you are under tutors and guardians and all the rest of that. And that doesn't mean that you get to a certain level, God decides to use you, and you step out from under your cover and everything else. That's not what it's saying, because accountability is right. Amen. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two and gave them authority. They went out and demonstrated it. And when they came back, then they testified and gave report of what they did. And from that point on, they were called apostles. Amen. It's recorded in the gospel. Amen. And we have to understand that as you go out and are obedient, just because you said the name of Jesus and somebody moved, just because he spoke in your ear and you heard and you spoke and they said that is what it is. Amen. Didn't make you autonomous. Amen. You got to be subject to authority. Amen. Because if you're not subject to authority, then you violate principle. Amen. Spiritual law. When you violate spiritual law, then spiritual law cannot work for you. It works against you. Amen. So what you did to get to the place where you thought you arrived, you just tore it down. Amen. That's why we have to always remain subject. Amen. Somebody needs to be able to check this word and see if it's integral and right. Did I exegete the passage properly? Amen. Huh? Is he really pulling that scripture out properly, or did he take it out of context to make a point that's not there? Amen. Because we got too many people who are not saved who can do that. And they're challenging us on our interpretation of the same word that we've been walking around with. Amen. So when you get to a point where you have matured, then you stay with the guardianship. But you're not under them. They become advisors. Amen. And they hold you accountable. Amen. Even so, third verse, we, when we were children, were under bondage of the elements of the world. That means that you got saved, but you still had some worldly ways about you. Amen. But as you matured in God, then you stop going to the club and stop taking the slip and stop going over here and stop doing this and that and other. Amen. Because the elements of the world still was on you, and you were walking from the world to a life full of Christ. Amen. You were saved, but you still didn't know saved ways. Amen. You were part of the kingdom, but you still didn't know kingdom behavior. Amen. You see that? Huh? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption, listen to this, as sons. So then, if I am a son, then my identity when I got saved is now not under the law, but because I was redeemed, I now walk as one who have received adoption as a son. Sixth verse, and because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer, hear this, a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, why are you making such a big point about that? Because if you don't understand that when you got saved, you stopped being a slave, then you'll be free and stay on the plantation. Hello, somebody. You'll be free, but you'll still be out on the field scared of master. Amen. Now, why am I talking like that? Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because when you are free, then you understand that you have rights. And when you have rights, you have abilities. And with those rights and abilities, you can start to live a new life a different way. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and just say, live a new life.
A
Come
new
on,
life.
Say it again. Live a new life.
A
Y'all
new
need to
life.
Be living in a different way. I'm not a slave. I'm not subject to this world and the world system and what's going on. And I'm in the world, but not of the world. Amen. I have kingdom mentality. I live a kingdom lifestyle. I understand that at any moment when I walk into a situation, I can take authority over the atmosphere in the name of Jesus and change my environment, because that's what God has given me to do. And when I go in and change the environment, then peace is with me. Peace follows me. The favor of the Lord is upon me. And God causes others to see that and desire to want the same thing. And when they desire it, then I can minister effectively the goodness of Jesus Christ. I can show them that God is a God of yesterday, today, and forever, and that he means to redeem them too.
Oh, yes, he will.
See, when we go out and we're complaining about everything and fussing over everything and nothing's right and we have a problem here and a problem there and every time something happened, why me, doom, despair, agony on me, oh, hee-haw song, deep thought, depression, rancid misery, if it wasn't for bad luck, I have no luck at all, doom, despair, agony on me, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Those people ain't coming. They don't want to come to no doom, despair, agony on me church. They want to come where the power of God is being preached and demonstrated. Teach me, oh Lord, teach me. Show me your will. Show me your way. Help me to understand your path and your will for my life. And that's not how can I build me better and make me better, but how can I make you look better through my life that I live. The life that I live is not my own, but I live the life of Christ demonstrated in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So when I have a responsibility to demonstrate Christ to all humanity and to the world, then I take it seriously how you see me. And I have to make sure that you understand that my identity is not of Chris, but of Christ. Amen. My identity is not a Mr. McQueen, but of Christ. My identity is not of Mr. Christopher McQueen, but of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is my job. That is my responsibility. And you, my brother and sister, God has given you the same charge. I like how they say it, a charge I have to keep, a God to glorify. Amen. See, when you understand that, then you look for the charge to keep it, the integrity, the character of being a child of God and a God to glorify, through my actions and my life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for those who have joined us in the chat room, those who have joined us online, those who have called in to the switchboard. I know that this is a word for right now. Lord, even as they go into the archives and listen, somebody's going to hear this word and it's going to touch their heartstrings and it's going to clarify some things. Lord, we need to start demonstrating you and the identity of you in the world, because people are confused. They want to find help, but they can't find it because all they see is men trying to aggrandize themselves. Lord, we submit to coming down. Amen. So that you can be risen up in us. Amen. Show forth through us in the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, to be your children in the way that we live. Now, Lord, I pray for anyone who is not saved, Lord. I pray that they will pray this prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, so that they may be matured and developed in the name of Jesus. And I pray for those, Lord, who may be sick, those who need a miracle, those who need a touch, a breakthrough, Lord, that they will receive exactly what they need, Lord. As an apostle, Lord, I speak right now the benediction of blessing, prosperity, wholeness in your life in the name of Jesus. Go forward and do what God called you to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and we decree and declare it done in his name. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. We have schools, orphanages, and ministries that are over in Kenya, Uganda, Nigeria, the Philippines, Pakistan, and India, and they need your financial support and your prayers. Please become a vision partner with us. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and we want you to know that it's God's will for you to live and enjoy the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.